The following is an unrehearsed interview with United States Senator Chuck Grassley speaking to you from Washington, D.C. Participating in today's public affairs program is Mike Mendenhall of the Newton Daily News. Mike, go ahead with your questions.
Senator, thank you for your time.
And thank you for being on here.
You bet, you bet. First of all, I'd like to talk about the renewable fuel standard. Can you talk a little bit about the latest news coming out with the renewable fuel standard that the EPA is presented? And if those proposals are to move forward, how would it affect Iowa in the renewable fuel industry?
Well, if they would move forward the way they were announced in November, I don't think they'll be that bad, but whatever's less than present law is going to be bad anyway, maybe just less bad. If they did it the way they proposed in November last year, it'd be catastrophic. If they do anything at all, it's going to retard the growth of ethanol from cellulosic ethanol, because in order to go cellulosic, you have to have more than a 10% blend with gasoline. And if you don't go ahead with that, you're not going to have the pressure on the oil companies to put in E15 pumps. Now, getting back to the first part of your question, they've delayed it now till fall. When in fall, I don't know. The fact that they delayed it is a little bit of good news that I give you. But it's by the delay, and nobody knows what they're going to do, the bad aspect of it is it retards investment in ethanol. And there's a lot of investment out there. And it doesn't just affect ethanol, but biodiesel too. And maybe even a little more with biodiesel, because it's still an infant industry. Whereas, you know, ethanol is now 30 years old, and we're told that ethanol is having the best year it's ever had. But we don't know when they're going to bring it out.
Have farmers been talking to you at all about concerns as far as corn prices are concerned with these RFS proposals?
I would imagine it has some effect on corn prices, but it's still very difficult to measure that. And I think, you know, we don't have $6.50 and $7 corn, or I guess once last year it got close to $8 some places in the country. We're going to have $4 to $4.50 corn this year, hopefully not less than that. And I think it's got more to do with supply than it does with exactly what's happening on the RFS.
Okay. Kind of moving on to the farm bill. I know that I think you've heard you mention this. Some of the farmers in the state are having difficulty with the application process to get access to the drought assistance benefit portion of the new farm bill. What type of actions is Congress taking to encourage the USDA to streamline the process?
Well, first of all, the farm bill of 2014, which is good for the next 5 years, deals specifically with this point, setting the program up. So nothing has to be done with the program. We just got to make sure that the Secretary of Agriculture makes a smooth launch. And so we got reports maybe a month ago that farmers that thought they qualified were making application, and they couldn't make application because there were so many unanswered questions about, just as an example, does it include the hay land, or does it include the grazing land, or does it include both of them? We wrote a letter to Secretary Vilsack explaining the problems that were coming from the various FSA offices, and there was probably different interpretations in different counties. But we asked him to smooth it out, and as far as I know, it is smoothed out, and I think when your farmers go to the FSA office to make application for that program, that they ought to be able to make application for it now. The questions are going to be answered that they're going to ask.
Kind of moving on to actually a topic that's kind of an interest to me is GMOs. I know that the GMO labeling process has kind of caused some frustration for farmers, and of course GMOs is under some scrutiny by certain nonprofit agencies. What is your stance on GMOs and their importance in the marketplace?
Well, first of all, they're a result of research They're a result of free market. They're a result of farmers being able to consume them if they want to. It's just a result of a continuation that started 100 years ago when the pioneer people started breeding seed corn different so you could get production up. GMO is just an extension of that, only your research doesn't go on out in the field. It goes on in the laboratory, and you have gene splicing, whereas before it would take years to develop things. So it just speeds it up, and it's able to do things that cut down on the use of chemicals. It does things to increase productivity. We're getting to a point where it is an opportunity to breed for more drought-resistant plants and produce more grain in dry years. And everything about GMO is good, and everything about it has to be approved by EPA, FDA, and U.S. Department of Agriculture. And everything is science-based. The determination of it, of safety and its use, is determined by science. And so most of the problems you have with GMO is misunderstanding about it. And I think what I've just said is meant to clarify some of those things. So I support GMOs. It's absolutely necessary for the future. And most of the resistance that we have comes from Europe, more so than in the United States. But what comes in the United States is trying to be regulated by having some sort of labeling that probably doesn't enhance consumer education at all, but it's there by people that are opposed to GMOs that want to stifle the further research and development in that area. So you get states like Vermont and California putting labeling requirements in place, and you can't have 50 different states, 50 different labeling requirements. So I think sometime here, Congress is going to have to bring some uniformity to labeling, just like we have over the last 30 or 40 years to, let's say, herbicide and pesticide labeling.
All right. I have one last question for you, and this revolves around renewable energy. As you know, the wind energy industry here in Newton has been growing, and it's kind of become an economic powerhouse for the city of Newton. I know that you're an adamant supporter. What is currently happening in Congress to continue to support this industry? And what are your thoughts on Newton's post-Maytag recovery? And what do you think we can do to keep the positive progress going and making the wind energy industry sustainable in the long term?
Well, wind energy component manufacturing there in Newton, along with a lot of other startup businesses, and the racetrack, I think, has turned Newton around very quickly. But wind energy is a great part of that. As a father of the wind energy tax credit, I want to get it renewed. It's a part of a package of 53 renewals that have to be passed by the Senate, and it's up to Reed when he brings it up. And I wish I could tell you he's going to bring it up next week or next month. We don't get any indication from him on that. So I've just got to say we're going to continue to push. We did have the bill with the 53 provisions, including wind in it, up for a couple days of debate, but Reed took it down. Thank you, Mike, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.